Now, what do you want to be? You want to be 60 years old? Now, if you're a woman, you'll really be able to associate with this. You want to be a 60-year-old woman and be old and wore out and have wrinkles all over your face? Or you want to be an 80-year-old woman and still have a beautiful, smooth skin? Hey, I knew Karen was going to jump on that one. All women are the same. That's just like Cheryl the other day. I got tickled at her. She caught herself. But she said, you know, that old woman, you know, she's 60 years old. And she thought, oh, my lands, I'm 60 years old. But see, she doesn't see herself as old. She sees herself as young. But, you know, just like the other day when Tim, he comes to dad, there was two old men. I think one of them was 60 or 62 or 62 and 63, something like that. He said two old men came down and signed up for workouts down at the gym today. I said, how old were they? He said, I think he said 60 and 62 or 62 and 63, whatever it was. I said, old son, that's not old. He said, yeah, Dad, these guys are old. He said, they know they're old, and that's all they could talk about. How they were old, they were fat, you know, they couldn't move, and he said they've abused their bodies, and they're coming down to the gym to work out, and he said that's all they talk about, how old and wore out and useless they were. I said, well, as the heart believes, so a man is, right? So I'm glad you're 78 and you ain't old, right, Joseph?
That's right. I have a gentleman was telling me here just recently, I was talking with him, and I would have sworn that guy was at least 85 years old, maybe older, and come to find out he was only 63 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, my goodness, I never did tell him how old I was.
Yeah. You made him feel bad. But it says right here, a relaxed attitude lengthens life. If God says a relaxed attitude lengthens life, then what do we need to have? A relaxed attitude. So we need to be stressed out about anything? Nah, don't let nothing bother you. Praise the King. But it says, look what it says about jealousy. Jealousy rots life away. Now, a lot of people are jealous, aren't they? About lots of things. I mean, lots of things people are jealous about. I mean, they're jealous because their neighbor's got a better car. Or jealous because their neighbor's got a bigger house. Or who knows? Who knows what people are jealous about? Hey, I don't care what anybody else has got. I could care less. You know, I just want to be blessed, and I want to have life, and I want to have a long life and a healthy one. And so, when people call me or write to me or talk to me somewhere about what I teach and they don't agree with me or whatever, or they write me emails, I said, well, praise God. You know, if you don't like what I teach, that's okay. You know, all I know is what I teach is what the Word says. Word for word, what it says. And like this one young man the other night wrote me an email. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I agree with you with most things you write but he said, there's a few things that I can't agree with you on. But he said, when I look at your ministry and the people that work with you and the answers y'all get to prayers, obviously God is pretty pleased with your ministry, because he was smart enough to know when we pray for somebody and they get healed, or when the pain goes away or the cancer goes away or they get delivered from a lifelong demon or whatever. Hey, who could do that? Can we do that? No, we can't even touch that. That's just like Jack Butler was sitting back here last Sunday when I was talking about my back. Well, when Jack, he was a Southern Baptist. And, of course, he believes God's Word, but he had gone to Rosemary, you know, for a couple of treatments or whatever, and she couldn't help him. And so she finally told him, I know where you can get that back healed. You go down to the Living Savior Church and let Thurman pray for you, and God will heal you. Well, he's a Southern Baptist. But he come down there, and he listened, and he repented of his sins. And he said, you know, I never heard this about sin and sickness going hand in hand. But he said, I know I have done some things wrong. He said, I'm trying to walk in obedience to God's Word. But he said, Lord, if I have done anything wrong, I repent, and I want to get right with you. He was serious with God. And when he walked out, I prayed for him when he walked out the door before he got to the car, a back injury that had been hurting him for months, quit. And it's been 8 months ago, because last Sunday I said, how long ago has it been? He said, about 8 months. He's not had a pain since I prayed for him that night. Now then, that was just a coincidence, wasn't it? No, it was no coincidence. God showed up to answer that prayer, didn't he, Lance? Sure. And Jack knows that too. And now then he's trying to get this through to some of his... I mean, he was pretty high up in some of the big Baptist churches that he's been around with. And the other day, one of the big pastors has got a problem. And he told him, he said, you know, I tell you what, if you'll give me 3 hours, I'll come pick you up. I want to take you somewhere, introduce you to another man that was a Southern Baptist for years. And I want you two to talk, and then I want him to pray for you. And he said, if you'll listen to what he has to say and do what he says, I guarantee God will heal you. He said, who is he? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I want you to go with me. He said, no, you don't tell me who he is. I ain't going. Now, see, isn't that, that's kind of pride, isn't it? He wouldn't submit. He would not submit. So he has yet to listen to Jack. And then Jack finally told him, he said, well, I went to this man, and I did what he did, what he told me to do from God's word, and he prayed for me, and I got healed within a matter of minutes. And so he said, I believe with all my heart he'll heal you too. But that man will not come out here. Will not come. So, okay, like they say, if you want to keep your pain and your sickness, just go ahead. You know, God, I'm not here to try to force you to do anything. And I've learned that God's not here to do that either. He laid the word out and said, anybody that wants this plan of salvation, it's free. Who all can have it? Anybody. Everybody that wants it can have it. It's a free gift. But if you said if you don't want it, you can die and go to hell. I don't want you to. In fact, he didn't want to so bad, that's why he told us, pray for them. Go out and tell them. Is that what he said? Sure, that's what he said. Because he wants us to do that. A relaxed attitude lengthens life, but jealousy rots life away. Who would ever dream that if you're a jealous person, you could die, you could have rottening of the bones or whatever, rottening of your life, and die early just because you were jealous? But the Scripture says it, doesn't it? Wow. Those who oppress the poor insult their Maker, but those who help the poor honor Him. Now, if you insult God, what do you think He's going to do for you? I'm in total agreement with that, Lance. Total agreement. In other words, if you don't make God happy, in other words, that lovely lady sitting beside you, if you make her happy, she does a whole lot more things for you than she does if you make her mad at you, right? Yes. We're all smart enough to know that. You know, it's a whole lot easier for her to fix dinner for you if she's happy with you. I mean, she may fix dinner with you when she's not happy with you, but it might not be quite as good, you know. Who knows? But we know that if we oppress the poor, it says it will insult God. And I don't think God likes it when we insult Him. But those who help the poor honor Him. The wicked are crushed by their sins. What is it that causes the wicked to be crushed? What? Sin. Isn't it amazing what sin does? When you get in here, you find out that sin is a killer. All through the Scripture, sin is a killer. That's just like when I read over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6, when I first learned that we, as sons of God, this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God lives in us. Now then, if we sin sexually with this body, it insults God. And He says, this is the only sin that you can commit that's against your own body, and that's a sexual sin. So anytime anybody has sex with anybody that's not their mate, that they're not married to, if they have a sexual encounter, it insults God. And He says in 1 Corinthians 3 and in chapter 6, if you defile your temple with sexual immorality, I, God, will destroy your temple. Oh, He don't mean that, does He? He does, huh? You think God would kill you if you're out here running around? I mean, so you're a child of God and you divorce Patty and you find another girl next Friday night and you go to bed with her. Oh, not a big deal. Not a big deal. And the next week you find another one. Not a big deal. God says, I'm living in there, and you're defiling that temple I'm living in with sexual immorality. And he said, I'm going to destroy that temple. Now, what might be the first thing you do? You might catch a venereal disease. Isn't that awful? And you might suffer for 10 or 20 years, and then he kill you. Or you might just die, like this little girl did over here in Justin that was 16 that moved in with a young boy. She said she was a Christian. He wasn't. But in the next 16, I guess some, she was just barely 16, so 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 5 or 6 years later, she had had 3 children with this boy, and they never got married. And I went to her 2 times and told her and that young boy that they had to stop living together or something was going to happen to her. Not to him, but to her, because she's the one who professed to be the daughter of the king. But she quit going to church, and she had nothing to do with God, didn't read the Word. When I told her that if she didn't stop doing what she's doing, there was going to come a day when God was going to destroy her body, she laughed at me. She said, God is a God of love. He would never do such a thing to me. But when the 3rd baby was born and the child was 1 month old, her and that boy and that baby, all 3 went to bed together. She was just 21. And the next morning, the boy woke up and the baby woke up. But a 21-year-old girl that had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night, and she was already hard and stiff, stone dead. Every time I go by the cemetery and I happen to go to that area, she's buried right next to where my daughter is buried. And I look over there and I say, wow, you could still be alive and well if you'd only obeyed God. Yeah, sure it does. It really breaks my heart when I went and told her 2 times and she wouldn't believe. But God says it, this book. You can take this book to the bank. It means what it says. And people just loosely don't have no respect or no fear of this thing at all. Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.